This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1.
Welcome in the next 60 minutes. Everything you need for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead. Tonight, it's goals, not ghouls, between now and 7. We're with the Dons after a better week and looking ahead to Monday night's trip to Dingwall to face Ross County. Who do you fancy being drawn against in our League Cup semi-final? We'll get your thoughts soon. We'll check the rest of the Premiership too. There's the romance of the Scottish Cup third round, and we're down the divisions and across the country for the full domestic lineup, rugby and more to come. It's John Hellish, Dave Gulloway and Grave McTurnip for Halloween Friday Sport.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1 with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
First, as always, to the boss, Derek McInnes. What week on from the Friday Sport Live at Toddry, a week which has seen two wins and two clean sheets, and with them, a semi-final place in the Human League Cup once again. The all-important goal scored by Adam Rooney, described here by our commentary team for Red TV.
Johnny Hayes and Al McGinn over the ball. Pollitt and Jack, and Pollitt in particular, about 10 yards offside at the moment. He's going to run back now as... He does run back. It's one from the training ground. Played across. Adam Rooney! The Dons take the lead. 24 minutes played. A wonderfully worked move. Peter Pollitt caused confusion. Running back. Adam Rooney made the run at the far post. And with a wonderful diving header past Michael McGivern. And it's Aberdeen 1, Hamilton 0.
I thought the better team won. I thought that although it wasn't emphatic in terms of the result, I thought... In terms of chances created, it could have been 3-4. I think their goalkeepers had, you know, two or three top saves, you know, and we've passed up opportunities to get that second goal. They're a very good team. Hamilton got high regard for them. But I thought in terms of creating chances, it was a top performance from us. And I thought the individual battles that maybe we lost down there in the league game not so long ago, I think individual battles tonight, the winners were in their dressing room.
You're on North Shore 1's Friday Sport. I'm John Mellis. Joining me tonight, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway. Evening, lads.
Evening.
Always easier to pitch up for a Friday Sport when the mood in the camp is good. And even though it wasn't automatic panic stations after that first Hamilton game, it's presumably a better feeling around Pittodrie in the wake of the results this week, Dave.
Absolutely, yeah. It was one that I think we were... everybody at the club was desperate to win because everybody knew that it wasn't good enough down at New Douglas Park. Although, as we were all saying, you know, Hamilton, they are a good side. Although, if we'd got the second goal immediately after the first, which we looked as though we were going to, we did everything apart from score, I think it could have been quite a far more convincing scoreline. But the main thing, the only objective was to get into that semi-final draw, and it was objective achieved.
2-1-0 victories, Dave Galloway. The second one against Hamilton could have been a few more if we capitalised on some of those chances. And their keeper hadn't been in such good form.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was, very strong candidate for man of the match. He was the difference.
Not from the FC sponsors, he wasn't.
Well, no. he was one of the main reasons why we, you know, didn't win 3 or 4-0. Yeah. Because I thought it was a very impressive performance, and you know the scoreline in no way told the story. I thought we were very solid at the back. We were creative in midfield. Our attack was sharp. You know, Rooney tracking back, working really hard. It was a great team effort.
Man of the match from the sponsors, and I think probably from a lot of the people watching, was Ryan Jack, and he was outstanding, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think Ryan in the game down at Hamilton, he'd just come back from injury, and you know, now that he's had a couple of games under his belt, he was back to the Ryan Jack that we saw before the injury. And I've said it before, he's got the potential to become the best midfielder in Scotland. He's just got everything about him that he can do, and very, very rarely gives the ball away. In fact, I think in commentary I was saying that just as he gave the ball away.
One of the players who didn't feature from the start on Wednesday but certainly raised my confidence in seeing the game out when he finally did appear towards the end of the tie has been speaking to Red TV's Mal Panton for North Sound 1's Friday Sport. Not long after that Hamilton win, and explains just how important that cup is to the club and the people of the North East. After all, he is one of us. It's the Dons, Barry Robson.
It's a cup that we don't want to lose out on. It was, everybody knows the memories we've got last year. I think someone was calling it the new generation's Gothenburg, and it does kind of feel like that with the starvation we had of the cup for so long. And we ended up, I think it was 18, 19 years, and You've seen the fans we had at Parkhead that day, and 70,000-80,000 in Union Street. That hasn't happened a lot in Aberdeen, so I'm sure the boys want to go and try and win this again to see if the fans can match their end of the bargain.
It's true, the boys don't want to give up the trophy, do they? You worked so hard to get it, and you're not going to give up.
Well, exactly, no, of course we don't. But we've got some good players here. We've got a great balanced squad at a great age. A lot of players in the peak of their powers, unlike myself. And we've got a lot of young, great kids coming through. Cammy Smith's really knocking at the door at the minute. We've kind of got a few younger lads pushing as well, so it's good to have their enthusiasm and freshness pushing the first team players. So it's all good at the minute, and I think you can start to see them starting to play. They're starting to move along and function and play quite well again.
Paints a healthy picture, doesn't he, at Aberdeen's Barry Robson. I mentioned just before that clip there, Dave, Barry Robson's exactly the guy that you want to see coming off the bench when you're 1-0 up and it's slightly squeaky bum time in the dying moments of a cup tie.
If you want somebody who can just keep hold of the ball and frustrate the opposition until they resort to kicking him, then Barry is absolutely your number one choice.
He is so annoying when that's happening.
He's good at it.
He's very good at it. We'll come on to the next league match in just a minute, but a cup semi-final to look forward to. The draw made on Saturday. Celtic, Dundee United and the Rangers still involved in the competition. Who would you like to meet next? I'm quite taken with the idea of playing the Rangers, just because it's always good to meet new clubs that you've never played before.
Actually,
I would like Dundee United in the semi-final, just to put that one to bed, and then Rangers in the final. I used to be a little bit wary of lower league opposition in cup competitions, but I'm pretty much over that now. So who would you like to face in the semi-final, Dave?
Anybody apart from Celtic, I'd rather not play them. Although, not because I think that we would not have a chance against them, but you don't want the best team left of the three opponents. So if you take them in order of ability, you would want the worst team most, and I think Rangers are at the moment out of the teams that are left. They fall into that category. So Rangers or Dundee United, and then Celtic in that order of preference.
Yeah, I would rather have Rangers for no other reason than just what Dave has said. If you were to look at the teams, I would fancy any of the other three to beat Rangers. So for that reason, I can see Rangers being the so-called easier option, although they would be a difficult game. I don't think for a moment it would be a walkover. Even if it was Celtic, nothing to be afraid of. We beat them twice last season.
Form is the subject of our topic this week, and we'll get on to that in a second. Just a quick thing, is it absolutely guaranteed to be played at Hammond in the semi-final, or is it still open to debate?
It's officially still open to debate, but I do think it will be at Hampden, irrespective of how they're paired tomorrow. And it seems tomorrow's a Scottish Cup day. It seems totally incongruous to almost like mix your metaphors, having the League Cup draw immediately after the Scottish Cup draw, and then the Scottish Cup draw is on Monday.
I don't see why it wasn't done on Wednesday night.
But does anything surprise you guys in Scottish football?
Well, mind you, I mean, had they done it Wednesday night, it would have been about 11:30 at night by the time Hibs and Dundee United had finished.
Indeed.
But the thing with it is, it's not currently sponsored, is it, the League Cup?
No, but there is, now that we're at the semi-final stage, there still potentially could be a sponsor brought in, given the four teams that are remaining.
But the thing is, at this moment in time...
It's not at this moment in time.
There's no demand by a sponsor to hold...
Cheer song there.
There's not the demand from a sponsor to hold the draw at a certain place at a certain time. So, I mean, they could have done it any time rather than tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, the draw for this round was actually done on radio after the... I think it was the Hamilton... It was at Tannadice after the... But again, they had to wait for the Hamilton Motherwell extra time to finish. So I think it's on telly tomorrow, at 5 o'clock.
Yeah. Anyway, regardless of when it is and who it is and who's doing it, I would quite like Tynecastle again, personally. But onto the topic. You can see this in Aberdeen Mad, as always, this time started by Petodri Goes Berserk, who says that he'd want Rangers all day long. Dave's got your thoughts on that one as it continued.
Yeah, can I say I had quite a lot of editing to do, as you can imagine, on this
yes,
one.
Really?
We'll start off with
really?
Arctic Flunky, great name. Gius the Rangers, about time we gave these upstarts a good kicking. From 05 Car, anyone but Rangers. Dundee United, I want carnage in Glasgow for the other semi, says Mac Attack, which is an interesting angle to take. From Jormungand, not sure about this. I think there's a fair chance that the powers that be will ensure what they will surely and laughably refer to as an old firm derby this season. New Rangers have already failed at the semi-final stage, so they might just cash in already. From Scott O'Ray, anyone but Celtic, and I'm sure that's their fans are thinking exactly the same. Every person in Scotland wants Celtic against Rangers, so make it happen. Hopefully, though, it's played in an empty stadium, so they don't get any money. That's from Aldo 1983. From AFC 1983, no easy tie. We'd probably prefer United, though, at this stage. I don't want Celtic. They're a level above everybody else, says the Ram 1975. United would be a close game. Sevco have the likes of Foster, Moshney, Blacksmith, etc. playing for them. By far the worst team left in it, I think. The Ram 1975 must be Ronnie Dyla's username. From PWLP, we'll have to play the Nuco lot sometimes, so this seems as good a time as any. Semi-final, they get all excited, we turn them over big time, all's good. From Oban Red, the Balls, Sevco and Timothy's are in the microwave already. Be prepared for whoever's doing the draw to need urgent medical attention afterwards for third-degree burns. We'll get Timothy in semi-final. No way will Sevco get the other cheek. The powers that be are dying for them to meet in the final, says Jack Don. Pine of Brovel Man, I'd love to get Dundee United because I genuinely believe it would make for a far better occasion than either of the others. I'll be amazed if we don't get Celtic. From Panda, I'll make one prediction. No matter what the draw is, everyone will claim it's a conspiracy. You've got people claiming the SPFL are absolutely desperate for an old firm game as soon as possible, and you've got others claiming the SPFL game are desperate to keep them apart to the final. Me, I think they'll stick four names in a hat and pick them out at random. Conspiracy. No tea bashers allowed. No toe bashers allowed. Says, up until the 90s, all the draws were made behind closed doors. Between 1960 and 1990, Celtic and Rangers were both in the semi-final draws of both cups about 35 times. In that period, they drew each other three times. After that, they televised the draws in the 90s. They drew each other 3 to 4 times in 6 years before the final. Draw your own conclusions. Stupid 82, in my opinion, the longer we avoid them, the better. I'm not afraid to play them, just don't want to be involved with them. With a bit of luck, they'll go bust again and we'll never have to play them. Kawaga, Aberdeen to win the cup for the second time by beating Dundee United in the final, please. SFA, please arrange the semi-finals accordingly. From 67, Superdon, fantastic to have another semi to look forward to. We're the holders and on our day we can beat any of them. I'll probably have a marginal preference for Sefco as I definitely think they are the poorest side left. No point in hoping to keep them for the final because I think that any one of the other three will beat them in the semi. Rangers at Hampden, please, says Milne FC with full accompanying circus, and it'll certainly be that. The Angus Bull, I imagine whoever gets the lower league club will have the televised game on the Sunday. And finally, from the Moog, I understand those who say we don't want to play them ever again. In my ideal world, that would also be the case, but let's not kid ourselves. They're not going anywhere. We're going to play them sometime. It might as well be now. They're the worst team left in the tournament. We should therefore want to play them as the easiest route left to the final.
Okay. Well, I mean, we could wait until they get promotion in a couple of seasons, I suppose. Remember, if you want to take part in the weekly topic or poll, we'd love to air your thoughts, but bear in mind as you type them out in Aberdeen Mad, if you want them to go to air, you'll have to make them broadcastable or, at the very least, easily edited without diminishing the content, because Dave has to sit up and do that, you know, editing thing overnight. You'll find them in Aberdeen Mad in any given week from about midweek onwards. Keep an eye out. This is North Sunderland's Friday Sport with the Dons right now on the official station of Aberdeen FC. And coming up, the next match in the Premiership and away trip to Dingwall to play Ross County. We've got Tony Doherty and Peter Pollitt on that in just a moment, directly ahead on North Sunderland's Friday Sport.
North Sound 1 with the best preview of the weekend's sport action across the northeast of Scotland and beyond. This is Friday Sport.
Indeed it is. Saturday afternoon football isn't ours for a little while yet. Next game is Monday night against Ross County in Dingwall. Chatting to the press ahead of the match, Tony Doherty.
You never doubt the players, their attitudes day to day. We work with them every day and their attitude, their enthusiasm to train, their enthusiasm to play is outstanding. And it's great to work with a group of players like that. You know, we feel very privileged that we've got that type of player in. You know, we take that into the games and there's a real enthusiasm, a real determination about us. You know, we're in very good form. You know, with our last six league games in the form guide, we're sitting top of the league, joint top with Kilmarnock. You know, we've won 4, drew 1 and lost 1, scored 12 goals and lost 9 goals. And if you add the cup into that, you know, your last 8 games, it's 1-6, drew 1, lost 1. You know, and your goal tally is up to 17 and against 9. So we're in a good run of form now, so it's a good feel about the place, you know, and we're just desperate for our next game.
Yeah, League Cup semi-final draw at the weekend. Everybody's looking forward to that. Any preferences who you get?
Not at all. We're fortunate we're in that position. We're in the last four, and we can look forward to drawing Saturday. And whatever will be, will be.
Yeah. Monday night, a tough game against the battling Ross County side.
Very much, since Jimmy Mack, we know very well, and Billy Dodds, friends of ours, you know, but when it comes to football matches, they'll be out to try and stop us, and we'll be out to try and beat them. But they've done a good job since they went in. You know, we watched them on Saturday against St Mirren, and there's definitely improvement in the team. You know, Jimmy's picked up 5 points now. You know, his last six games, they've won one, they've drew two, and they've lost three. So he's picked up all the 5 points that Ross County have accumulated this year, and he's brought in a few players, and Paul Quinn and the boy Woods, and recruited a few that will make his team better. So we realise we're going up there, and it'll be a stern test. We know the way. They're very organised, they're very well set up, they're very prepared. So it'll be a tough game. Any time going up to Dingwall, it's a tough game. But particularly now that, you know, the team's gathered a little bit of momentum under Jimmy and Billy. And we'll just need to make sure that we're as prepared as we can be in terms of our game plan. And we can hopefully put that over them and pick up the 3 points.
I suppose the one advantage of playing football in something other than a Saturday afternoon, as Tony mentioned there, is the ability to go and watch your opposition on game day the week before. And as Tony said, the Staggies look to be having a brief resurgence towards better form in recent weeks with the appointment of a new manager. And then came that 5-0 thumping from Celtic last weekend, a 2-2 draw with St Mirren. And even at this early stage of the season, it does look a bit like they're going to be the two clubs down there come the business end of things. Something manager Jim McIntyre is keen to avoid when his team welcome Aberdeen to the Highlands.
We want to do a hell of a lot better than what we've done at Pittodrie. You know, I think Aberdeen were worthy winners that day, and, you know, we want to try and return the favour, so to speak. So we know how tough it will be. They've got a very good squad. Derek's done a great job there, and he's continuing on the good work from last season.
But the Dons, Peter Pollitt, believes now is the time to come good.
We know, especially this period that we're coming into, you know, I mean, last year we kind of kicked on at this moment, and, you know, we went unbeaten in, you know, so many games. So it's very important, this stage, especially. And, you know, we've got some, you know, difficult games coming up, but we feel as though we can, you know, really make a push for it now and hopefully get right up that league.
Do you feel the lads are just coming to the boil then, and just at the right part of the season?
Yeah, I think so. I think that maybe we've not been performing as well as we can, but we've been picking up results, and I think that's a huge thing. And I think the manager's brought to this club is a mentality to win games, even if we're not playing well, just to, you know, get over the line, 1-0 victories. And, you know, sometimes we'll play really well, win, you know, 3-0, things like that. So, you know, when we've got to play, you know, dirty, we'll play that way, and, you know, we're good at grinding out results as well.
He doesn't sound like he can play dirty, does he?
We can play dirty.
I thought Peter looked more like himself on Wednesday evening, Dave. Posed himself more in the match before having to come off injured. Is he looking doubtful for Monday?
Well, I've certainly got him in my team. It wasn't quite as bad, although it was a pretty nasty tackle from the sub Routledge when he came on. That was a potential leg breaker, and Peter, I think, managed to ride the tackle a wee bit. But
what I will say about Hamilton, you know, as well as they played, they are quite a physical team.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
No, I was just going to say, because Ryan Jack, you may remember, after when Peter was writhing around, Ryan Jack was having a right go at Bobby Madden, saying, because he only gave a yellow card, because he could easily have given a red card. But then again, it was in keeping with the ref's performance that he got it wrong.
I have to say, and usually it's you that comments on refs, I have to say, I thought Bobby Madden had an absolute shocker on Wednesday.
If you listen back to any of our commentary, I think you would see that we concur.
Yeah. So it's interesting, most refs sort of stay up with the game in physical terms, but there were some calls that he made where I was closer to him standing down at the tunnel, the opposite end of the park.
He was miles away, and again, the assistants, particularly the one on the main stand side, just did nothing to help him.
The ref was kind of in a sort of central corridor, wasn't he?
Just you were going to say it in a dwam.
Yeah, well, he was as well. He just kind of walked up and down this make-believe central corridor. Yeah.
Well, you may have heard on North Sherman Sport at lunchtime, we could have a returning Russell Anderson as well, captain by captain. Which would be great to have his steadying influence coming back into things at this stage, wouldn't it, Dave?
It would be fantastic. I mean, his leadership skills undoubtedly have been missed, but very important not to rush him back. And I'm sure Derek and Tony will, you know, they'll ease him back in gently, because it's a few weeks since he had, you know, surgery on his knee. You can't really rush him back, especially at his age. He's, what, 36 now?
He just said his, was it 37th birthday
37.
Last week? Was it?
Mm-hmm. Has he been out that long?
Yeah.
I thought he was 35 when he got knocked out.
Maybe it was his 30. Maybe doing him an injustice.
Let's get on to the team selection for Monday then with predicted Eric. Dave the Elder, I'll start with you.
OK, Scott Brown, I think, will retain his place in goal. Back four, Logan Taylor, Reynolds, Considine. Pollitt, Flood, Jack Hayes, McGinn, Rooney.
And Dave Galloway.
That's exactly what I've got. Brown, Logan Taylor, Reynolds, Considine, Flood and Jack sitting, then McGinn, Pollitt and Hayes behind Rooney. So, yeah.
OK, and on the subject of Scott Brown, I thought he did well on Wednesday. There was one save in the second half where the Hamilton play would have been down towards where you were in the main stand. And he sort of bent one round towards Scott Brown's...
Parried away.
Yeah, and he parried that away. He's looked solid enough, I think.
He's looked very solid. Again, just on the chat sites, I find it amazing how Jamie Langfield has still got so many critics.
Oh, I mean, I don't get it.
Scott Brown has come on, has done very well, great keeper. But if you look at how we've played in the last couple of games, we've really protected because of the goals we were losing. Mm. You look back to the Hamilton game down there, Jamie did not get any help whatsoever from the defenders at the goals. Okay, you know, the manager's changed it, which he's absolutely right to do, but it's just this constant sniping at Jamie, if you remember back to the semi-final against St Johnston in the first half, where St Johnston were really all over us and were in right.
Yeah, they were
looking,
on top for
they
a
were
spell.
On top, and the save that Jamie pulled off there, that as much as anything helped us get to that League Cup last year. So I just think, you know, Jamie is a top class goalkeeper. We're lucky we've got two top class goalkeepers and we've got Danny Rogers, who's doing really well on loan at Dumbarton. But I know it doesn't matter what he does, he's going to have people that are on his case. But goalkeepers make mistakes, simple as that.
You don't get, for instance, if Rooney or Goodwillie miss an easy chance, you don't get anything like that level of criticism and even vitriol.
Certain players. Jamie's one, and the other one. While I'm on this, my wee soapbox. I think Ash Taylor has been immense in the last couple of games as well.
Okay, Scott Brown. Just on that, on the subject of goalkeepers, do you think now he'll just retain that number one until? Let's fingers crossed. Will it take a glaring error for him to be dropped?
I think, or an injury. Obviously, I think Scott did absolutely nothing. I don't see that, because I don't think the manager likes to change the goalkeeping situation like game to game. So a lot will depend how they're playing in training, because the manager does, you notice how he promotes youngsters who are doing well in training, gives them, travelling with the first team squad, getting a place on the bench. So I think there'll be all sorts of factors, but I would be surprised if Scott doesn't retain his place up in Dingwall on Monday.
Okay, next, the one to watch, and Dave Galloway will go with you first this time.
The one to watch for me is Adam Rooney. I thought, quite apart from his brilliant goal, wonderful goal, to put
Van
Hamilton
Persie
out the
eat
cup.
Your heart out.
It was amazing. It was beautifully done. What a superb header. You know, if there was an award for header of the season, I think that one would be,
I can think of a few contenders
right
for that.
Indeed.
Joey Barton might be up there.
quite apart from that, his work rate, his tracking back and everything was brilliant as well. That was a very impressive all-round performance, and I take him to keep up the good work.
I'm going back to the same player as a week ago today, Johnny Hayes, because again, as an ex-Inverness player, he's up against he'll get plenty of stick from the crowd, and I think Johnny, and I hope he doesn't get called up for the Republic of Ireland squad too soon, because we're playing them, but I'm amazed he's not been, that he's been overlooked so far by Martin O'Neill, and of course Adam Rooney's another. We've got all our Irish players are doing really well just now.
Okay, just ahead of asking our experts what they think the result's going to be in Dingwall on Monday evening, let's see what you reckon on our weekly poll, again via Aberdeen Mad, where we ask, can the Dons make it three wins and three clean sheets in a row at Ross County on Monday?
Yes, 78%, no, 22%.
Okay, lots of all to that score on Monday night. Dave Galloway first.
I will go for Ross County 0, Aberdeen 3.
I've gone 2-0 Aberdeen, so we're two of the 78%.
Yes, and I would be one of the third that's in the 78%. I'm saying 2-0 Dons as well. Briefly, let me mention this from our friends at NES, Northeast Sensory Services, Ross County on Monday and then Celtic the following Sunday. And ahead of that game, Brian's Big Breakfast. Have you heard about this, Dave?
I have indeed, yes.
Yeah, Northeast Sensory Services marking the 25th anniversary of one of the club's most important penalties, which secured them victory in the 1990 Scottish Cup final. Brian's Big Breakfast takes place on Sunday, November the 9th at the Doubletree by Hilton, ahead of the home tie with our 1990 opponents, Celtic. The breakfast starts at 9:45 a.m. and will end in time for attendees to make their way to the match. Following a traditional Scottish breakfast, Brian Irvine will give an insight into his career at Pittodrie and no doubt mention the spot kick that propelled him to Don's legend status. The tickets for that one are £20 and available from Ness's reception at 21 John Street or by calling 0845 27 12345. That's 0845 27 12345. Ness provides a wide range of services to over 4,000 people with a significant sensory loss. They do a load of great work. And that's going to be a great little event. Good luck with it, guys. This is Northern One's Friday Sport. The Ross County versus Aberdeen game is the swan song in a weekend of action. A preview of all the other games in the Scottish Premiership coming up on Northern One's Friday Sport in moments.
North Sound One, the official station of the Dons. Keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie. This is Friday Sport.
And to the rest of the matches in the Scottish Premiership, the weekend. First of those is tonight when two of the form teams from last year scrap it out to try and get closer to the form teams of this year. St Johnstone play host to Motherwell in just over an hour's time. Saints Tommy Wright.
They'll be like ourselves, they'll be hurting at the minute. You know, most people would probably expect the two clubs to be higher up the league. I think that shows you the competitiveness of the league and how difficult it is at times. We'll just have to concentrate on what we can do, build on the two performances that we've had and try and get all 3 points.
Stuart McCall's cope must be in a sugary peg at some stage if things don't start to turn around soon.
Obviously clean sheets are massive and we need to defend better. You know, we'd lost 10 goals previously to Partick, Dundee and Hamilton. I felt last week there was a resilience about us, especially after losing a goal so early. There was a good spirit, there was a good togetherness, but we didn't create enough at the top end of the park. So that's what we have to look at.
St Johnstone versus Motherwell, Dave McDermott.
I think St Johnstone were hopeless against Rangers in midweek, but equally I thought Motherwell, contrary to what Stuart's saying there, I thought they offered virtually nothing. I'm going to go for a 2-1 home victory.
On to the Saturday matches, all at 3 o'clock, I remember those days. Celtic versus Inverness, are things starting to click finally at Celtic Park for Ronnie Dyla? A 6-0 victory over 10-man Partick Thistle on cup duty midweek, and he's hoping for better against Inverness this time after the last match against the Highlanders when he made 10 changes.
Hopefully in 1 year or 2 year we can play the Skyline teams and win. It was too many changes, and we had 10 changes in that game, but it was a very important game we had in Champions League afterwards, so that was something you had to do. It was very important. And we had against Motherwell, we have 5 or 6 changes.
John Hughes' men moved joint top with that win over Dundee United last weekend. He's confident without getting carried away.
We've massed 23 points this first quarter, so that gives us a right to go to Celtic and go and have a go. What we'll have to do, we'll have to be very brave and good on the ball, because if we're no, and we keep getting it back to Celtic, it could be a long day.
Celtic versus Inverness, Dave Galloway.
I think this will be a close one. This should be a really good game, actually. Inverness playing some really good football. I think Celtic will just be too strong. I'll take them to win 1-0.
Dundee United will want to put last week behind them. Two players out to allow for a club investigation last week. And after a 1-0 defeat in the Highlands, Jackie Mack wants to get back on track.
There's a few lads come in that, you know, have only played maybe a few under-20s games, like John Souter. Connor Townsend obviously hasn't played a lot of football from coming back from injury as well. Mackay Stephen off injured. We'll see if there's an outside chance of being involved tomorrow, but I think he's not as bad as we first thought with his ankle.
In their way is Tommy Craig St Mirren, who could use a win as well, but the boss knows the threat United pose.
We've got goals in lots of areas, so that's something we've got to be very much aware of come Saturday. And in fact, in recent games against Dundee, home and away, there's been quite a few goals. We've beaten 4-1 here not so long ago. They beat us 3-2 up at their place. They've beaten us 3-0 up there. They beat us 3-0 here. It's a game where anybody going to it is going to see goals. I just hope that we can be on the end of a win.
Dundee United at home to St Mirren.
Well, it's obviously going to be a 0-0 after Tommy there, but I think Dundee United 3, St Mirren 1.
Hamilton have lost 2 games in a row, one in the cup and one before that in the league to Dundee. something that they'll want to knock on the head pronto. Their first chance to do that is at home to Partick Thistle. Partick's Alan Archibald just as desperate to put a 6-0 thrashing by Celtic in the cup behind them. Hamilton against Partick Thistle, Dave Galloway.
Hamilton against Partick Thistle, I think Hamilton will win 2-0.
The last one for Saturday sees Kilmarnock welcome Dundee, who could move into the top six with a win following that victory over league leaders Hamilton last time out. Dundee boss Paul Hartley.
We're on the back of two good results. We want to try and make it three. We're not going away from home. We've been pretty good this year. We've been solid. We've looked comfortable away from home, but we know Saturday's another tough game, another hard away game for us.
But a win for home side Kilmarnock could see them go joint top. Their manager is Alan Johnson.
They've got some really good players. Guys like Harkins and McGowan, probably their two best players. Caused us a lot of problems that day. Obviously, it was the opening game of the campaign, and they were well, a big crowd there as well. So it was always going to be a difficult game, but we're at home, and we've got to make sure it's us that's on the front foot.
Kilmarnock versus Dundee, Dave.
I'm going to go 2-1 for Kilmarnock with Josh scoring the winner.
In the Highland League, Maroori Locos travel to Buckie Thistle. Cover at home to Devon Vale Forest Mechanics host Strathspey Jags. Keith make the trip to Fraserburgh. Stevie Patterson's for Martin United are also away at Huntly. In the remaining games, Turriff United travel to Rothes. Turriff boss Ross Jack.
Nobody gives you the points for nothing. We've got to earn the right, go there and get the win. So, yeah, another tough afternoon expected, but we're confident we're going there to get the 3 points, but we know it won't be an easy one.
They're battling to climb up from 15th place. You'll be expected to win easily by most people, but, you know, football doesn't work out that way, does it?
No, sorry, it does not. No, nobody give us a prayer at the start of the season to be up here challenging, so we've got to make sure we go about our business in the way that we've done in the last 10, 11 games and make sure we get the win.
Wick Academy host for William, either Turriff or Wick, could move top with the win, and that's virtue of the fact Brora Rangers are in Scottish Cup third round action away to Edinburgh City. Now, in County from the Highland League, also involved in that, they're at Arbroath. And for Peter Head, the chance to make amends for the 5-0 thumping away to Stranraer earlier this week, this time back at Balmoor and in the Scottish Cup, Lucian boss Jim McAnally.
We've never got that far in the last couple of seasons. We've never got this far, in fact. Therefore, when it comes round the last couple of years, it's really disappointing that you're not there, and sometimes you've had a free weekend, but we are there, and although we're playing a good side, it's still a good opportunity at home, where we notoriously do well, and if we can take ourselves in with the big boys, then who knows what can come up. I mean, we've already sampled the atmosphere of a Scottish Cup tie with Celtic in the last few years. We've played Rangers at Ibrox in the league, and everybody loves it. Just having that opportunity for that to happen again is good. And then if you look at it the other way, you can get another tie that's winnable. You know, so there's lots of options there. But, you know, I think it all makes for a really good cup tie, to be honest, because neither team will want a draw, that's for sure, because it'll mean another midweek replay. So I'm sure both teams will be going for it.
In the juniors, Dave.
We have the Scottish Cup Junior Cup second round between FC Stonywood and Devon side. That one was postponed last weekend because of a waterlogged pitch. And one replay sees Cooter travelling down to Glasgow to play Rutherglen Glencairn after their 1-1 draw. In the Domino's Pizza North Regional Cup first round, quite a few ties there. Bankery St Ternan entertained Bridger Don Thistle. Forest Thistle are just down the road here at Bank City. Dice against Longside. Glentanner host Bucky Rovers. Burghead Thistle travel to Holrus United. Hermes against Duffdown. Nairn St Ninian against New Elgin, Parkvale, Ellen United. In the PMAC Group Super League, Inverness City are at home to top of the league Maud. Stonehaven take on Cruden Bay. In the First Division West, Lossiemouth United against Port Gordon Victoria. Spey Valley against Granton and White Hills versus Islevale. In the First Division East, Aberdeen University are to Hillhead against Lewis United. Colony Park against league leaders Buckenhaven Hearts. East End versus Sunnybank. Newmarket United versus Fraserburgh United. And also just mention that on Sunday at 1 o'clock at Pittodrie, it's the Scottish Youth Cup between Aberdeen and Hibs. So get along there. Great chance for the Dons to make it through another round of the Youth Cup.
And just a reminder, that's 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock kickoff.
Sunday afternoon.
At Pittodrie.
Who does the match announcing for that, Dave?
Neither you or me. I think Alan McKimmy used to do the...
Oh, right, okay.
The,
just occurred to me there that, you know, they must need someone. To England and Sunday's Manchester Derby is the undoubted highlight of the weekend's Premier League action. There's also the chance of an upset or two on Saturday, George Alderman reports for Norton One's Friday Sport.
The Manchester Derby is set to be an intriguing one, with champion City out of form and United a work in progress. City are the hosts for the first Premier League match of the season between the two rivals. Their defence of the League Cup ended on Wednesday, and Manuel Pellegrini's side lost to West Ham in the top flight last time out. City goalkeeper Joe Hart tells Sky Sports News he relishes matches against United.
Amazing thing to be involved in. It's a great city with two very good clubs, you know, both fighting to be at the top of their game. And it's a special occasion, and you know, I feel like I'm part of Manchester now. I've been here a long, long time, and something you definitely look forward to.
Sunday's actions then rounded off with a clash between two sides who could do with a win as Aston Villa host Tottenham. Before that, on Saturday, leaders Chelsea aim to continue their unbeaten start to the season when they take on London rivals QPR at Stamford Bridge. Manager Jose Mourinho has to decide whether to keep in-form Didier Drogba up front or recall fit again top scorer Diego Costa.
It's a fantastic problem. And the perfect problem is when Remy is back. That's the perfect problem, to have all three.
Burnley, who are still in search of their first top-flight victory of the campaign, go to Arsenal, while a resurgent Newcastle meet Liverpool at lunchtime. Newcastle boss Alan Pardew is relishing the chance of taking on Brendan Rodgers' side.
Some good games against Liverpool since I've been manager here, and we've more than held our own. You know, I'm pretty confident I know what Liverpool will do. I'm pretty confident I know what Brendan's side is. I think I know him well enough to know how he'll come and play.
Second place Southampton are at Hull, and West Ham hope to continue their impressive start when they play Stoke. Everton boss Roberto Martinez goes up against his old club Swansea, and Leicester host West Brom. Out of form Sunderland clash with Crystal Palace on Monday night.
Briefly in rugby, and Aberdeen Grammar went down 27 points to 19 against Big Eye last week. Tomorrow they're back at Rugby's Law to take on Hillhead Jordan Hill in a 2 o'clock kickoff. Head coach Stuart Corson.
Seems a bit of a grammar curse over the years. We've won a game, then lost a game, won a game, then lost a game, and it's just trying to get that consistency of we're going to go out and we're going to win week in, week out.
What are your thoughts on Hillhead Jordan Hill?
Unfortunately, they've lost a lot of players and they're at the bottom of the league, but they will be dangerous. I mean, anyone can beat anyone, and they'll want to go out and prove a point, and they'll see us as just being above them, and they'll want to put a performance against us. So we need to be focused and play 80 minutes of rugby.
In tennis, let's bring this one on, Dave, because Andy Murray seems to have been playing three games a day for the last fortnight.
Just about, and if anyone that watched his final against Tommy Robredo, that was almost like gladiatorial. The pair of them were shattered by the end of it, but his will to win, I think it's now 21 of his last 23 games he's won. He's on a rich, rich vein of form. He's obviously made it to London, which didn't look possible a few weeks ago.
Because this was the reason he was down the rankings, and London's, what, November 9th?
Yeah, starts next weekend. Yeah.
The top eight players in the world.
Top eight players in the world, or if you've won a Grand Slam, you get in there as
right,
well.
Oh, right, automatic entry in those grounds.
Cilic is playing, so after his US Open success. But no, it's also important because Andy's, as always, looking ahead, and he's looking to not just get, which he's now managed, but he's looking to do well there so he can actually finish the end-of-year rankings, ideally, from his point of view, in the top four, with Federer losing earlier on this evening to Raonic. There's still a chance that he could make it, but he'd need to obviously win in London as well. But it's all about where he's going to get seeded, because the Australian Open, if he's where he is just now, seeded eighth, then it makes it very, not impossible, but very difficult for him, because he's playing more against the top guys. When you get right deep into the tournament, he's just started his match in Paris with Djokovic, going with serve, I believe, Dave.
Yeah, it's one game to love for Djokovic. Murray is serving in this second game.
The important thing, obviously, is that when it gets closer towards Christmas, he can walk into those studios at the BBC for the Strictly Come Dancing Christmas final with his head held high, knowing that he's performed well.
Indeed. But I thought it was brilliant when he did his signature yesterday, then Bad Year, which was, I think, a wee pop at those who were writing him off and saying, oh, he's had a poor year.
Never write him off. His will to win is incredible.
No, it really is. And the tighter the situation, the better he plays. And if you've got a mentality like that, it's you'll get, as well as quite a bit of skill as well, you'll go far.
So he's in the top eight. He's going into the tournament in London. Who else is going to be in there? Djokovic, obviously.
There's still three places up for debate, which we'll find out over the next few days exactly who's going to be there. And Ranić has now given himself a chance of sneaking in as well through the back door. David Ferrer is another one that could make it too.
Okay, looking forward to that. Friday Night Flow for Lewis is coming up in just a second, and that's for our weekend coverage, Dave.
Jim will be at Peterhead tomorrow and on Gossip and Goals here on North Sound 1. But, of course, our weekend is a long weekend because we're heading up to Dingwall on Monday night for Ross County against the Dons. Full coverage on Red TV.